More of Lake Effect Weekend now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tye.
And I'm Bonnie North. It might not be on the scale of Woodstock, and Jimi Hendrix certainly won't be playing, but a small farm outside Fredonia is expecting quite a crowd to gather on its fields throughout the weekend.
The occasion is the 2015 Permaculture Convergence, where summer fruit tree grafting and the ins and outs of fermentation will be among a multitude of topics discussed.
Permaculture combines natural landscaping and edible gardening with the aim of mimicking patterns and relationships that are found in nature.
WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz met a few of the people who will be found at the Permaculture Convergence.
Bryce Ruddock is a human lexicon of all things living and growing in his South Milwaukee yard. His is a fascination that took root when Ruddock was a kid and his job was to weed the family cucumber patch. Time passed, but not Ruddock's fervor. Over his 32-year career working in an Oak Creek paint factory, Ruddock wore multiple hats, from paint mixer to resin warehouse attendant. But his lunch breaks were devoted to accumulating more knowledge.
During break, I'd sit there and read seed catalogs and plant books. So other guys thought I was a little bit like, okay, he's not talking sports. What's wrong with this guy?
Didn't bother Ruddock one little bit. One particular article he consumed was transformative.
1980 in the Mother Earth News magazine. And it was with a fella from Australia named Bill Mollison. He had this interesting idea about working with nature, replicating patterns found in nature for our agriculture. Not just for gardening, but for agriculture. So that you look for patterns that you see in the natural world, and then you replicate those patterns in your environment, whether it be the built environment or whether it be your outdoor environment, whether it be a farm, whether it be in restoration of a natural area or anything else.
Ruddock says you only have to walk down his block for inspiration.
There is a natural black walnut guild. Mature cottonwood trees, mature black walnut trees, wild grapes, the Vitis peria, the river grapes, growing up into the trees, the vines are vining up into there. There's raspberries and blackberries growing along in there. There's sumac. All of these are useful plants. And then all the little spring bulbs and stuff that nature has out there growing in the underneath it, probably blooming at this time of year right now. This is like 150 feet across in a rough circle in a field owned by the county down at the end of the block here. I was amazed to see that. It was inspiring.
So that's just happening or somebody is tending it?
No, nobody's tending it. Nature did that. Very interesting. It's like a hidden natural area. And these things are in every park in the county. You'll find these little areas and you can go there and you can actually see things that nature's doing, try to replicate patterns, not with the same species, but with the same ideas. A seven-layer food forest, where you've got your ground layers all the way up to your canopy trees and vines and everything in beneath there, shrubs that are shade tolerant, shorter trees, allowing for succession as a tree falls, the light opens up a spot in the canopy and another tree shoots up through that, just like in nature.
So is permaculture based on this seven-layer formula you talked about?
It's based upon observation of the patterns in nature, and it's more a toolbox, it's more a way of doing things than it is a gardening technique. People say, oh, look at my permaculture garden. It's, no, you have a garden inspired by permaculture design. You do not have a permaculture garden.
Ruddock calls his the Spirit Tree Urban Food Forest, named in honor of a silver maple that used to stand here and continues to live on in various forms.
The bark forms different burrs on it, which actually look like the faces of animals, and the log that's straight through here that came off of it about 3 years ago, there's actually like a fox face on the front of that. Two of them that looked like a person's head that was on the trunk when we took the tree down. That's some of the tree right there, all cut up. More of it's back there, and more of it says mushroom logs in the back with shiitake and oyster mushroom plug spawn on them. And then I have another pile of logs I still have to work on and inject olive oysterling mushroom spawn into.
So maybe we should walk around.
Sure.
I visited last spring before Ruddock put in his vegetable garden. Spring flowers and trees were budding everywhere. The place buzzes and beams with life.
Nearly everything here has a use. Huchera or alum root is an astringent. Trilliums actually have an herbal use. This is meadowsweet right here. We have plantings of this all over the place. So meadowsweet has natural aspirin compounds in it, natural salicylic acid compounds. So what we do is we make a tincture of the leaves and flowers of meadowsweet. We make another tincture of willow bark.
Explain tincture.
Tincture is where you grind up or macerate the herb and then soak it in a blend of alcohol and water for about 3 weeks. after that sediment's settled out, then you run it through like a coffee filter, and then you can store that for 3 to 5 years, depending upon the tincture and upon the strength of it.
So boundless is Ruddock's enthusiasm for permaculture, he co-authored a book about it titled Integrated Forest Gardening.
Do you feel like you're on a mission?
You can only influence the people with whom you have contact, okay? And I throw ideas out there to people all over the place. I mean, I'm corresponding with people in Australia, with people in Europe, with people in Canada, with people in Peru, and across the United States. I'm not into this for the money. I'm not doing it for a living. Even writing the book, it hasn't paid for itself yet, that's for sure. It's more about just I want to see people doing this stuff. It doesn't mean I'm on a mission. I want to see. It's like you go to Old World Wisconsin, you know, and you look at these gardens that these people had, and you talk to the people out there and how, oh, back then they would harvest this and they would do that and all this stuff in the wild. So it's like we need to get back there. We need to go out into our parkways. We need to, like, see what's out there in these semi-wild areas in the city and how we can incorporate those.
Hello.
60 miles west of Ruddock's diverse green space, Dennis Fizer is trying to make money farming the permaculture way. He co-owns Regenerative Roots. I met him earlier this week inside his greenhouse as he busily trimmed garlic.
Well, it's Tuesday. Thursday is our CSA delivery. So Tuesday is usually our big harvest for CSA. And this time of year, that's actually getting a lot easier because there's more and more stuff that we harvest all at once, like our onions or garlic or winter squash, and then it's just kind of waiting to be put in a box. So we pick some greens and some peppers and herbs and a few other things that just haven't been picked in a while, and everything else is... And then tomatoes. It's all about tomatoes this time of year.
Fizer and his partner, Ann Dreyfel, supply fresh veggies to 37 CSA accounts and a food co-op in Madison, with a couple of nearby farmers markets on the side. On our way to see those tomatoes, we walk by the hoop house, tomato plants on the left, some scraggly-looking kale on the right. Dreyfel says there's a lesson to be learned here.
Kale is really uneven because a lot of it was nibbled right after transplant. Which is kind of a funny story, because when we go out into the field, you'll see that we use clover in between each aisle, kind of a living aisle system. And in here, we didn't have time to establish the clover. And so when you don't have clover, things eat your vegetables. When you do have clover, they'd rather eat clover.
Bunnies or what?
Probably bunnies or little, you know, voles or some sort of rodent. A lot of ground squirrels.
Sunflowers border the parcel where happy kale, several varieties of eggplants, and tomatoes grow. Dreyfel says between the interspersed rows of clover, they grow about 50 different edible crops.
There's like bok choy, kohlrabi, kale, beets, broccoli, romanesco, cauliflower. You know,
it's
like that's
folded that, in
It's
beautiful...
all in those families,
but
in that chunk. In this chunk over here, there's, you know, cucumbers. Summer squash, zucchini, all different kinds of winter squash, melons, watermelons, sweet potatoes. So that's kind of that section.
Yep.
This is our everything else section.
Fizer and Dreyfel share land with a woman who breeds and raises rabbits. They pasture when the weather is fine and spend winters in a cozy yurt.
Julie is planting it into a pasture mix. Okay. Her rabbits are completely pasture grass-raised.
Then there's the sheep. 13 males are happily munching away in a paddock, cordoned off for their eating pleasure. They're part of a herd belonging to friends who raise them for wool and meat. The ewes are being kept at home. Dreyfel says the 13 rams are here.
We're kind of experimenting. This is really Dennis's thing. He enjoys his early morning sheep time. So while I love having them here, you know, he's been the one making more of the observations of them and how they're impacting the land.
The 30-year-old reflects on her career choice, one with which she's delighted. Dreyfel fancied herself a future doctor as she earned her undergrad degree.
I went to Madison for molecular biology, thinking that I would be pre-med and stuff. But I studied soil science quite a bit and learning about healthy soil and, you know, the opposite of that, what's growing in that soil, healthy plants. I originally got into prairie restoration and then through that kind of into growing food. It's like totally for me.
Permaculture, Dreyfel says, fits her philosophy. She wants to work hard, grow food, share surplus when it exists, and care for people, including herself. Drafel and Pfizer happened upon a unique variation of a co-op or community farm. They are two of seven people who own and collectively manage its 30 acres. Drafel and Pfizer are directly responsible for their 4 acres, but contribute to the whole. Working collectively with people who share the same values, Drafel says, is another iteration of permaculture.
Yeah, I think so. As long as everybody's needs are being met by it and it's the right type of people. Because I think a lot of farmer types are very determined and like, I want to do everything myself and independent. And like, I don't think it's a good match for everybody. But Dennis and I, our first year farming was totally isolating because, you know, we were used to living in Madison and then we moved out to the country, didn't know anybody. So there's that whole like living in a new place component. But there was also the, like, we're working really hard constantly together 24/7. And it was just, it was really challenging. And so going into year two, we were like, we want to continue doing this because we love it. But these are sort of the components of a quality of life that we need in order to make that work. Farming and community and living with other people other than us has been great, you know, both for our own personal relationship to just have sort of other, you know, within that 24/7 equation.
Drafel will share more of her thoughts on the topic during her cooperative permaculture farming talk at this weekend's Convergence. She's also going to be on the lookout for someone who's interested in berries. There's a large orchard attached to the co-op that so far doesn't have a steward.
See if we can find some partners who are really, you know, passionate about this, because there's one thing that I've realized as a farmer is that I don't want to be working from dusk till dawn, but I really value having that off time.
It's all, Drafel says, about the balance. For Lake Effect, I'm Susan Bentz.
Susan Bentz spoke with Bryce Ruddock of South Milwaukee, along with Ann Drafel and Dennis Pfizer of Regenerative Roots near Jefferson.
The Permaculture Convergence runs through Sunday at Burr Oak Farm outside Fredonia.
Coming up next, we'll remember Wisconsin photographer Julie Lindemann. We'll have more of Lake Effect Weekend on Milwaukee Public Radio right after this.